Thank you so much, Ron. I was looking in the record, and I discovered that this is the 12th time I've ministered here in your church. However, the last time was 24 years ago. But I'm very grateful that we could come. And supposedly are retired, but very active, especially in Chinese churches in Metro Toronto. You know, the English churches don't want anybody over 50. But the Chinese think it's wonderful that a person like me would be willing to come and be their English pastor. And so we've been helping different Chinese churches over the last few years. Before I share my message this morning, I feel so constrained. If you were living in southern states or the Caribbean, I'm sure you would want people to be praying for you today. And I remind you that Hurricane Harvey slammed into the south on August the 25th. 10,000 people are still in shelters. 5 million people were affected by that. And the cost to repair everything is over $100 billion. That's just one. And then, of course, there was the Mexico earthquake, 6.1 on the scale. What an incredible damage, knocking out power in 327,000 homes, and killed at least 307 people. 100,000 children are still sleeping out in the streets, and it's very cold and rainy down there right now. Hurricane Irma, September 5 through 9, 75 hours pounding the south, sustaining winds of 245 kilometers an hour. The Virgin Islands, Cuba, Florida, $62.9 billion worth of damage. Florida flooded so much. Then Hurricane Maria. Puerto Rico, especially, the whole island completely devastated. The Virgin Islands and the United States, and it's still continuing. You know that if you've watched the news. Over 30 hours, winds of 280 kilometers an hour. Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Turkish and chaos. I just had a burden that we as a congregation should pray for these dear people. If you were there, I'm sure you would want to know that people were concerned about you. So would you let me just pray prayer before I share my message? Lord, we are deeply impacted in our own thought, in our minds, in our hearts, as we think of the countless thousands and thousands of people who have been so devastated by these four incidents and even another one that we've heard of that is happening this morning. Oh God, we know that there's purpose in all of this. It's one of the signs of the times as you try to wake people up to the reality of life. Oh, I pray, oh God, that people would see through all of this that life does not consist in the abundance of what they possess. I pray that there would be countless many who would cry out from their hearts to you, O God, desiring that you would touch their lives and that you would come to them and renew them and bring them into relationship with yourself. I pray for the churches in these countries who are trying to do all they can in spite of the devastation of their buildings and but the people themselves are reaching out with love and mercy. Bless them, O Lord, I pray. And I just ask, O God, that through all of this, people would recognize the signs of the times, reminding us that in the end, all of these things were to happen, preparing us for your coming. So, O God, accomplish your purposes, I pray. And I ask that you would have mercy upon all of these people and somehow make provision. Provision for water and food and shelter and these things that are so desperately needed. Our prayers go up to you, Lord, as we join with these dear people in these countries. Hear us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many are asking, are we at the end? The only reliable source, of course, that we have that tells us where we really are is the written word of God. And the Bible warns us against human predictors and also date setters. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 reminds us, no one knows the day or the hour, nor the angels of heaven, the Son, but only the Father. Some through history, of course, have tried to make forecasts about when the end of the world would come. Do you remember the Millerites? Over 100,000 people who followed William Miller, their Vermont farmer, who predicted that the end of the world was going to come on March 21st, 1843. It didn't. So he said it's going to be March 21st, 1844. It didn't. So he changed again to October 22, 1844. It didn't. Many quit their jobs, sold their possessions. Many abandoned their families because they were so convinced of what Miller was telling them. Harold Camping, do you remember his writing, 1994? Telling us that the world would end September of 1994. It didn't. Then there was Y2K, December 31, 1999. 2,500 websites on your computer tried to wake you up, giving you survival plans because of the devastation that was going to come on the earth. They believed that they knew the end and when it was going to happen. When we visited southern India on one occasion near Chennai, we saw a great myth regarding a sign of the times. There recently we saw this large rock precariously sitting on the edge of this big hill. And they truly believed that when this rock finally topples, that is going to be the end of the world. Friends, we have a more sure foundation for preparing for the future, and God deals in facts, and He has given us several facts that we need to tune into. May I suggest to you that in the New Testament alone, there are 317 references in the New Testament about the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you add that out, that's about one in every 25 verses of the New Testament scriptures, trying to remind us that Jesus is coming again. We discover in scripture that we are warned and urged to watch for the signs. Signs that can be grouped in four areas, really. The signs of the times, the physical, the moral, the political. I'm preparing sermons on all of these four areas. The fourth one is on knowledge. And that's what I'm going to speak on today. Important signs of knowledge that's expanding around the world. Now, I'm going to give you a little quiz to start my sermon this morning. I'd like you to listen to what I'm going to present to you, and then I'm going to ask you the question and ask you to answer the question. The question is, how old is Grandma? When was Grandma born? Listen to this. She was born before television, before penicillin, before polio shots, before frozen food, before Xerox copy machines, before contact lenses, before Frisbees, before the pill, the birth control pill. There were no credit cards, no laser beams, no ballpoint pens, no pantyhose. Did you realize that, women? No air conditioners, no dishwashers, no clothes dryers. Man had not yet walked on the moon. We were born, she said, before gay rights, before computer dating, before dual careers, before daycare centers, before group therapy. We never heard of FM radios, never heard of tape decks, CDs, or electric typewriters. Never heard of yogurt, and certainly never heard of guys wearing earrings. If you saw anything made in Japan, you automatically concluded it was nothing but junk. You remember those days? The term making out referred to how you did in your school exam. Pizza Hut, McDonald's, and instant coffee were unheard of. We had 5 and 10 cent stores where you could actually buy things at that price. Ice cream cones, phone calls, streetcar rides, a Pepsi, all for 5 cents. In my day, Grandma said, grass was mowed. Coke was a drink. Pot was something your mother cooked in. Rock music was your grandmother's lullaby. Aides were helpers in the principal's office. Chip meant a piece of wood. Hardware was found in the hardware store. And software wasn't even a word. And we were the last generation, Grandma said, to actually believe that a lady needed a husband to have a baby. How old was Grandma?
95.
How old?
75.
Grandma was 59 years old. Now, what does that say to us? Do you realize that all of these things, but I have to make one correction, because about 2.5 years ago it was written. So she's probably 61 now. But do you realize that all of these things have been invented in that short period of time? And so this morning I want to talk to you about the knowledge sign. It's one of the positive signs of the scripture. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, "But Daniel, close up and seal the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge." I won't even attempt to do this, but I have made a list of all the things in the last 50 years that man has invented and brought to us as human beings. Unbelievable when you read this list. Can you see them? Oh, there they are. Can you realize what we have experienced in the last 50 years? And I could go through the list. And by the way, jetliner. My first airplane ride, there was no jet like we have today. There was the propeller jet. That's what it was back in the 50s. And all of these things have come in the last 50 or 60 years. And incredible things that have been developed, like cell phones. Maybe we're not so happy about that. Everywhere I go, you know, I see young people sitting there. There was a cartoon in a magazine I read recently, "Let's go and have lunch together in the restaurant." And so the next picture is they're sitting in the restaurant, all with their phones looking at each other but not talking to either one of them, the four of them, just all on their phones. And that seemingly is so much of the way society is today. We have all of these communications, but we're not talking to each other. Anyway, things like GPS, it's absolutely amazing. The last time I went to Florida, I just punched in the address of where I was going in Florida, and I just followed the instructions that led me right to the door. Coming here this morning, I knew where the church was, but I said, well, let's just type it in. So we did, and sure enough, it brought us right to the door. The GPS is such an incredible thing, and I asked myself, that lady talks to me, how does she know where I am? And how does she give me the instruction? It's absolutely incredible what man has developed. And DNA fingerprinting. I mean, I could take every one of these things and talk to you about the amazing discoveries. And remember what I'm trying to emphasize about the last 50 or 60 years, all of these things have come into being in our society. And a lot of you who are sitting here this morning, you saw when these things came into being. You were born before all of this. Could I add to the list there? I'm thinking about, you know, we need to have understanding that the increase in knowledge, in medicine, in travel, in technology, and all of these other things are signs of the times. That Jesus said, when you see these things, you better look up. Since 2000, for instance, the surgical robotic, microsurgery. I woke up one morning, I got out of bed, and immediately I fell on the floor. When my wife woke up about 6 or 5, it was, she usually gets up at 5, I told her that I had to go to the washroom, and I tried to get up again, and I fell. So I said, you go ahead of me and I'll put my hands on your shoulders. And we got halfway to the washroom and I fell again. I was totally out of it. The problem was they found out that I had a big hole in my stomach and poison had gone all through my body. And I was in very serious condition. How did they find that out? When I went to the hospital, eventually they put a light down my throat. And when they saw the hole, then they put other things down my throat and never cut me open at all. They just sealed me up. And I thought, how in the world? The incredible advance in medicine. And things like the debit card, the YouTube, over 1 billion users, the YouTube nowadays. The e-reader, where you can carry an entire library in your little cell phone in your pocket. Unbelievable. Skype. My son and his wife in Cambodia recently, she's still there. All we need to do is dial up and we can talk to her as long as we want, free all the way to Cambodia. Isn't that an amazing thing? The iPad. Facebook, the iPhone, and it's, as I said earlier, the GPS, and DNA. Absolutely amazing what they have discovered with this. The internet has revolutionized knowledge worldwide. We log on and enter the doorway to knowledge. It's absolutely phenomenal, isn't it? But that's all happened in the last few years. It's the increase of knowledge that the Bible said this is going to happen in the last days. Mobile broadband and the cloud. Do you know what the cloud is? I tell you, I have a hard time understanding what that is. But instead of storing stuff in your computer and getting it so overloaded, you can throw things out in the cloud and you can file it out there. And when you want it, you can go out there and tie into it. That, you know, I can't rationale, I can't understand it all. But it's true. The cloud computing and allowing us to simply save miles of records, as it were, and we can access them. I found another illustration. I could give you so many illustrations. My mind just is so overwhelmed with what I've read as I've prepared a sermon like this. Have you ever heard of the Rosetta Mission? 2014. A robot the size of a washing machine weighing about 100 kilograms made a historic descent. It went out into space and traveled for 10 years out into space to a comet, landed on a comet that was 4 kilometers wide, that was traveling itself at 16,000 or 66,000 kilometers an hour. And this machine went from our Earth out into the heavens for 10 years traveling and landed on this 4 kilometer little comet. Doesn't that absolutely cause you to say, what is happening? 500 million kilometers from Earth, and yet they reached it. And that's knowledge on the increase. These are mere samples of the development, friends, in the rapid increase of knowledge in almost every area of our lives. Buckminster Fuller reminds us in his writings, Knowledge Doubling Curve, he tells us that until 1900, in the year of 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. In other words, every 100 years, the knowledge doubled. But he reminds us by the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Now, on the average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. And in fact, IBM has recently built out and written about the Internet of Things that will lead us to doubling of knowledge in our world every 12 hours. Does that not absolutely blow your mind? This is almost beyond our imagination, especially when we ask to think of its speed and the panorama of discovery in every area of research of our lives today. Just think of technology, what man has been able to invent in technology, helped us to learn about the wonders of the world, the universe, intricate places we can't easily go or see ourselves, but we can see through technology. It's important that knowledge be inspired by humanity's imagination. It was Albert Einstein who said, imagination is more important than knowledge. He says, knowledge is limited, but imagination encircles the world and continually opens new things to our understanding. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, it speaks of the great feat of building the Tower of Babel. You know that story, don't you? The Lord said, look, they are one people with the same language now for all of them, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And then this statement, nothing that they imagine to do will be impossible to them. You know, I think that we're witnessing that very thing. God said what we can imagine, we can do. Today, its speed and panorama of knowledge is one of the great signs of the end times. When God said in the end, there's going to be such an increase of knowledge. Humanity's imagination is one of four created endowments that God has given to us. And these assist us in our ability to use knowledge well, hopefully, to be productive persons for positive control and success in life. These exist as our self-awareness, our conscience, our independent will, and our imagination. But there's one more thing for Christians, and that is we also have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit adds his companionship and his to assist us and use our intellect and ability in doing these endowments for our good and hopefully for the glory of our Lord. These endowments are important in all aspects of our life, and But sadly, isn't it so true that they have become tainted by humanity's willful turning away from God, the Creator, and finding ways to use all of these inventions not to honor God, but for their own purposes? Like the story of Babel, it has also opened the door to resident evil in the human heart. And often what was created for good, we now have seen that it has been distorted and misused. And I could spend a lot of time talking about illustrations of that. How we manage the things we create is in our endowments is so important. It will affect our use and our knowledge and what we learn. And so we face the issue nowadays with all the things being created, the right and wrong use of knowledge. Self-awareness can become self-absorption. Greed, rivalries, selfishness, exclusion of being in relationships with God and with others. Self-centered lifestyle and philosophy can take over, as we see in so many, many people today. Then our conscience, knowing what is right and wrong. Conscience, however, has become seared, and good and evil. Now evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. And we as Christians can recognize so many things that the world is calling good, which we say, no, no, the Bible warns us, that's evil. But they are determined that they follow that path of evil, and we see the impact on it. Disregarding all types of God's laws, many illustrations I could give you. I know I need to go on. But the third endowment is the independent will. God still gives us wills that we can choose to do what we desire to do. But God intends that we should have strong wills and in spirit and character, not to be easily influenced or controlled, but rather to make choices in our liberties that God wants us to follow. Wrongdoing, hurtful acts, destroying relationships and other lives. Now we're blaming society for all of our problems because we have misused the blessings that have been given to us in new discovery. And then we have the endowment of imagination. It has brought about so many amazing human discoveries, led to great benefits, but also has become so distorted and dark, resulting in harmful influence in many areas because of the way society has taken these discoveries and used them. How are you using the wonders of increased knowledge in your life and in your society? May I suggest to you the good news for us as Christians is the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives enables us to select and use knowledge for our good and for the good of others in our world rather than for self-greed and self-promotion, etc. Above all, may you know the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, of how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. We need to choose the endowments that he has given to us and it created us for, giving our self-awareness, our conscience, our independent will and imagination back to God and using them to glorify him, developing right relationships and lifestyles that bring honor to him and blessings to other people around us. To the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, God has opened the door. Hopefully we are using what we ought to. We can be encouraged with increased knowledge, such important knowledge as the signs of the times. But it is a sign, remember, that it indicates the soon coming of our Lord. The end of times captured worldwide imagination. Though it is fascinating, many people, it's really not new. The ancient Mayas invented a system of calendar of remarkable accuracy and complexity. If you've studied it along, you'll know that in the long term, their calendar had 365 days in one solar year. And it would last for 5,126 years. And when that year would end, they believed that the world would end. Well, when did it end? It ended December 21, 2012. But again, planets, they thought, were going to be aligned at that time, which was true. They believed the cataclysmic events would take place when all of this would happen. There were an incredible number of books, hundreds of books and thousands of websites, and even the film 2012 that some of you probably saw would tell us that was produced by Sony Pictures, you remember, and it grossed over $770 million as people flocked to see this thing about the end times. But characterizing it all, the great fear and worry has captured people's minds, creating mass hysteria in so many areas. The big question that many are asking today, especially non-Christians, will we survive when the end does come? We did survive 2012. The world agrees we're living in the information age, which makes the signs more obvious. Knowledge is exploding, absolutely exploding. If you are studying at all, did you know that 80% of the world's total knowledge has been brought forth in the last decade? And did you know that 90% of all scientists that have ever lived are living today? But in spite of all the predictions and presumptions, humanity attempts about knowing the future, they don't turn to the scriptures, but only the Bible gives us a correct view of these things. It gives us the final view of the history of the world, gives us special messages for these times. We have in our scripture a more sure insight into the future. Jesus, in his view of time, has given the promise he is coming again. Do I hear an amen anywhere? He is coming again. And I remind you again, 317 references in the second coming of Jesus, just in the New Testament, one in every 25 verses it works out to be. Jesus warns us, we're not to give the day or the hour. Only God our Father knows this. But he urges us to watch the signs. That's the urging of Jesus. Watch the signs that are coming before you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord may come. He reminds us it will happen as suddenly as the flood came to Noah's time. People ridiculed Noah, thinking he had lost his mind. And if you start talking about the fact that Jesus is going to come and all, you're probably going to think, people will probably think you've lost your mind. But we have no need to panic. Remember, 1 Thessalonians 4, or 5, verses 4 and 5 reminds us, you are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you. So let us be alert and self-controlled. And I close with the emphasis from the book of James. Apostle James in his book encourages us, be patient because he is coming. Wait as the farmer waits for the harvest. That's what James tells us to do. It's coming, just wait. Be strong. That term actually means fix it so it stands upright. In other words, prop up your heart. Just anchor yourself to God and be stable as far as this is concerned. Even though the world may laugh at you, believe it is going to happen. Prop up your heart. He says, be ready. What does that mean? I hope you have received Jesus as your Savior, because he's coming first of all to receive his people who have given their lives and hearts to him in love. And we walk with him, we look for him. He is coming, and so we need to be ready. And James says also, be confident. He's prepared for you. They will not surprise you. And so, may I suggest, we should live with an ear to the trumpet, because that trumpet's going to blow one of these days. An eye to the sky, because we're going to see it. And a heart cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus, so that we're ready. I leave you again with the question of Lila Morris in her well-known hymn. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Are you ready? The Bible closes with the words, "Yes, I'm coming soon." There's a course that's been written, and I sent word. I think, are you going to be able to sing that this morning? I wanted to close the sermon by singing this wonderful thought. The Bible words, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. There are four stanzas, and I'd like you to stand as the group would come and lead us in singing. And I hope this will really grip your heart as you recognize. And this is only one of the signs. The things I talked about south, all the hurricanes, the earthquakes, certainly that's another sign. I'm working on a sermon that absolutely shows what's happening in the world, all over the world, these terrible tragedies. But the good side of it is we know that Jesus is coming soon and very soon. And he will take us to be with him. Go ahead and lead us, please.